Those that are staying here can turn to Titus. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy.
I don't even know where I'm going to start.
2 Timothy. We'll end up in Titus. No, I'm kidding. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to continue on what I was dealing with. In case somebody is wondering, this is really Brian's time. But he's not feeling too well, so he asked me, and I said, sure, I'm not done. Yeah, it was rough on me. But anyway, look what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse. Well, let's go ahead and read, starting verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Then it says, from such turn away. And that's basically what I'm going to talk to you about is when it comes to children. From such turn away. Now, the reason why is because I'm dealing with this subject of children. And I want you to notice that the Bible says, many, many years ago, says that in the last times. And I don't know if somebody here has any doubts about whether we're in the last times. But even in the Bible, they actually spoke of their times as being the last times, meaning that, man, we are getting ready to, what the apostles were saying is, we're set up now. The next step is Christ's second coming, and he's going to establish his government. So this is the last time. But here Paul is talking about the last days when, shortly before it all is going to happen. And he comes up with a description of how it's going to be. And I just noticed, not just perilous times that are coming, but I just noticed several of the things that to me have a whole lot to do with how you raise your kids. You notice it says they're going to be disobedient to parents. And it says they're going to be unthankful and unholy and without natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. Listen, a whole lot of what is just being described here is how a whole lot of people have their own family, have their household right now. Their house displays this behavior all the time. And it's not because of some spiritual powers out there that are, confusing us and, jamming our radio broadcasts or, whatever it is. No, no. The reason why is because people have no longer, pay attention to God's way. They're not interested in God's point of view or in God's philosophy. If you want to know why divorce is so prevalent nowadays, it's because people think their marriage is about themselves. Yeah, and marriage is about God.
Amen.
And God's design and God's purpose and God's love. That's what it's about. And if you were to think that your marriage is a little bit higher, more important than you, your happiness, your pleasure, you would find out you can weather out a whole lot of bad times in marriage and still honor God in your marriage. And even when your partner's doing everything wrong, you can still weather it out and wind up having something beautiful to give to God in that day. But if you think that it's not really about God and you think it's really about you, well, you'll blow your marriage and you'll mess it up and you'll walk off because they're not doing you right or whatever. Now, the same thing goes with children. If you think that your children are, something to fulfill you and make you happy, well, you're wrong. The fact is, your children are going to exasperate you, but your children are given to you by God, I should say loaned unto you by God, so that you can return them to him making them holy and thankful and blessing God and that sort of thing. This is what God is talking about. And when he tells you his philosophy on raising children, well, I suppose that we ought to think he knows what he's talking about. Now, what it says here in the last days, and that's because in the last days, people are going to have a wrong philosophy. People are going to have a bad philosophy. The philosophy that people have nowadays is called secular humanism or rationalism. It's this idea that there is nothing except physical nature. That's all there is. No spirit, no angels, bunch of Sadducees nowadays. No spirit, bunch of old Greeks that think, you know, that they've got something new. We've come up with, you know, it's like these modern scientific types, you know, and education types. They think we have discovered something in our last generation. What they don't realize is they believe that thousands of years ago. Thousands of years ago, the Greeks, they didn't believe in all this miracle nonsense. You know, they were all about wisdom and understanding and intelligence. And you know, these Stoics and these Epicureans and then the Sadducees get a hold of that idea, you know, and they don't believe in angels. They don't believe in spirits and they don't believe in a resurrection and such like that because they're just too smart. And what they wind up doing is shooting themselves in the foot because you cannot have both philosophies. You cannot be a naturalistic skeptic and at the same time believe in God. And that's why so much of this compromise that goes on nowadays in people's churches and pastors compromising with this naturalistic tendency, this rationalistic tendency that is in our day all over the world now. And it's pretty much coming close to being the worldwide religion called humanism. And so many Christians and pastors are compromising with it, thinking that there's a way, you know, to bridge that gap. And there is no way. These are two absolutely different philosophies. And it's nowhere any more apparent than in how you raise children. And I'm just going to go over what I did a couple of weeks ago, just real quickly, because I do have something I want to get past that. There's a fourfold Bible philosophy about children that contrasts very starkly with this naturalistic, humanistic philosophy, evolutionary philosophy, so this is all just, you know, accidental, random accidents coming together and finally turning into, you know, apes coming out of the trees, losing their tail. And, you know, it's just not quite that. There's no way to get these two things together. Either you believe God made us or you don't. I don't know what Susanna's laughing about, but the fourfold Bible philosophy about children is, first, they're simple. And I don't mean that they're not complex. I mean that, I don't really mean to say they're stupid, but you know, they were born on zeros. They don't know a whole lot. You know, kids don't know what they want, okay? Don't take them to McDonald's and ask them what they want. Take them to McDonald's and buy them something you think they want. They don't know what they want. They haven't tried everything at McDonald's, okay? So you have to make those decisions. Second, they're sinners. Whoa, hey, oh, slow down, they say. Whoa, whoa, whoa. The Bible says they're sinners. I don't care how many good, solid Christians you know that don't believe in original sin. They're just wrong. There is such a thing as original sin. It's a sinful nature. It's not just by imputation. It's not just that God decrees everybody guilty by imputation. People are guilty because in their natures they have been twisted somehow. They're born in this iniquity, this mindset of disregard to God and disregard to authority. Children are evil by nature. Don't, and listen, if you have a different philosophy, I guarantee you didn't get it from the Bible. If you don't think children are evil by nature, it's because you don't believe the Bible. And if you know that children are evil by nature, born in sin, born speaking lies from the womb, yeah. If you don't realize that, your philosophy is going to mess you up when you try to raise that kid. Absolutely. They're sinners. They're servants. Galatians chapter 4 says, the heir, inasmuch as he's a child, is a servant. And you know, this is a huge problem that people nowadays have, treating their children like they're not servants. Actually having family meetings where it's a democratic process, where, you know, the children get the same vote as the dad and the mom. That's not right. Children are servants. They need to be taught that they're servants. And that they are spiritual. Children are spiritual beings. They need to be pointed to God. Their spirits need to be fed. That Leninistic, Stalinistic Richard Dawkins actually wants to take away our right to raise our kids in the religion of our choice. He actually writes it in his books that it ought to be illegal for us to teach our children what we believe about God. Because he's worried about the Muslims, you know, teaching their kids to go blow up people. Listen, you need to teach your children about God.
Amen.
They need to know about God from the very beginning. They need to have the moon pointed out to them and say, God made that.
Amen.
They need to be instilled into them from the time they're small. Otherwise, they'll turn out like all these Leninists. All these Stalinists. All right. That's the difference in the philosophy. The philosophy of the world is wrong. God's philosophy is right. That is the literal acceptance of the Bible, what it says about kids, that's right. And what people's ideas and their Freudian imagination think, that's wrong. And so they can write a book, you know, you can get a PhD writing a book about how to raise kids. And he might not know anything he's talking about. Just like the Child Protective Services, little girls come, they just got a master's degree in something, they get hired by Child Protective Services, and they're going to come to your house and tell you how you're raising your kids wrong. Why don't you get your own kids and you get, I got five PhDs.
Absolutely.
I have five PhDs, okay? I've raised five kids. Every one of those is a whole separate degree. So, what I'm telling you is, We need God's wisdom in raising our kids. We need to follow God. And the reason why the world has got into these perilous times where these kids are unthankful, it's because they're not following God's philosophy. They're not thinking the way God thinks. They're not being taught what God wants to teach. And that's going to turn into a real mess for this world. I'm afraid to tell you, your kids and your grandkids are going to have to go through it. It's only going to get worse, people. The kids that we're raising right now, they're going to start raising kids. And oh boy, we got to do whatever we can to teach the best we can right now. We have just a sliver of hope to save our kids from a whole lot of pain and trouble. All right. I also talked about a fourfold solution, which differs from the world's solution. The first is training. The second is correction. The third is instruction. And the fourth is provision. Just briefly, look at Proverbs 22:6. Proverbs 22:6. We can probably just quote it since I can't find it. Here it is. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I said a couple of weeks ago, that this is not a promise. This is just a fact. You train up a child in the way he will go, in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. It's not a promise that if you raise your kids right, they're going to believe in God and follow God the rest of their life and never make bad mistakes. That's seriously not what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
What he is saying is if you train your child from a very small baby how to be thankful, how to be cleanly, how to be respectful. Well, that will just become part of their natures. It'll become second nature to them. And even when they're old, they won't be able to stop being that way.
Yeah.
And this has been proven over and over and over again. As the twig is bent, so groweth the tree. That was Virgil, not Lindell. Okay? And it wasn't Psalms or Proverbs, either one. Virgil said that a long time ago, and it was wise. As the twig is bent, so groweth the tree. You get that kid when it's small and you train it, it'll be that way, however you train it. And by the way, all you young parents, you're training your kids whether you know it or not. You're training them to whine.
Yeah.
We sat in Logan's Roadhouse the other day, me and my wife, and somebody sat behind us that had a couple of kids that couldn't stop whining. The whole time. They were trained to whine. They were trained to whine. You need to start. Let me tell you something. The training period of a child starts at birth And you pretty much are done by the time they're 2 years old. Now, I know somebody might disagree with that, but I'm smarter than you, so listen to me. You have a window to train your child to be thankful, to train your child to not be whiny, to train your child when they fall down to get up and stop crying, to train your child not to be unthankful. You can train your child this way. If they're crying for no reason, show them what to cry about. That means a little sting on the leg. This is not correction. This is not punishment. This is training, okay? And there's a book, and I really do recommend it, by the Pearls. It's called How to Train a Child or Train Up a Child or something of that nature. You look it up, read them. They got a lot of wisdom. They're kooks and nuts in other ways, but they got a lot of wisdom in how to train children. You really need to go after that, especially you young parents. Get a hold of that because you only have a small window. If you want your child to be a handful the entire time of his childhood, then don't pay any attention to what Billy has to say. Don't listen to what the Bible has to say. Just read Benjamin Spock and find out what they have to say, and your child is going to be a heartache for the rest of his childhood. Okay. I should have mentioned Dr. Phil in there somewhere too, but... All right. Correction. I don't remember how far I got on this correction. I remember being a little bit rushed. Look at same book, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now, either you believe the Bible or not, ladies. You're either going to believe it or not. And the Bible talks about the rod for a child. I don't believe that we should start spanking our kids from the time they're born as a matter of punishment. I do believe that pops on the hand and, you know, little palmaditas on the leg, you know, that sort of does train a child. It's about the one thing they really do understand. And they really do get it. Yeah. And you can train the child. You can train them what no means. For the time they're very small. I remember Amanda, I was a little bit overzealous, but I taught her to stop crying in the middle of a wailing cry. I could have her stop crying when she was 5 months old. I'd say, be quiet. And she would swallow it down. She was very well disciplined. Too well disciplined, I have to say. I overdid it. I was overzealous. I'm almost perfect now, but back then I, you know, had some problems. But let me tell you something. Don't tell me it's not possible. Don't tell me your kid's wailing out there and crying and stomping their feet and kicking their mom and that that's acceptable or that that's okay or that there's nothing you can do about it. Children will be children. Nonsense. You can train those children, but correction comes after they come to understand the commandment and they learn how to obey. Once they understand the commandment and they begin to disobey the commandment, you have to step into the next stage, which is called correction. And it requires a rod. Mm-hmm. Now, if you get a rod, one of these little dowel sticks, and you spank your kids, you're going to leave bruises. And in our humanistic, rationalistic, unbelieving, skeptical, nonsensical society, they're not going to accept bruises on your kids' legs. They ought to. Yep. Blueness of a wound heals. They ought to accept it. They ought to be proud of parents that know how to put a few bruises on the kids' legs. But they're not going to accept it, so I suggest that you flatten that rod out a little bit and get a paddle. So you can paddle that kid, and he'll learn what punishment is, but you don't leave bruises to get yourself in trouble. And never hit a kid in the face. Yep. And never use your hand. I mean, literally, they're saying nowadays, only use your hand. Nonsense. Never use your hand, because then every time you want to pet your kid, he'll jerk, you know? You don't want to do that. Use a paddle and make things clear. Now, I want to talk about a few things on this correction, because I know I did not deal with them all. But I just want to let you know, the idea of correction is to teach the principle of justice. Yeah. They have to understand what justice is. You do something wrong, something has to be paid. Right. This idea of all, you know, this kind of loosey-goosey idea that, well, you know, whatever, whatever's practical, whatever works. No, there is such a thing as justice. We all know it intuitively. And children have to be taught how strict justice is and how it works. They need to know that I do something wrong. I have to wind up paying for that wrong by being punished. And once the punishment's done, it's over. They need to learn that closure. When they feel like they're getting away with stuff, and they never get punished, they just get rebuked, they just get embarrassed, they just get yelled at, they never actually get closure. They never get the moment where they can say, okay, I paid my debt, it's over. You know, Dad and Mom have no reason to be angry at me anymore. They spanked me. That is just a wonderful thing you can do for your children. When they do some disobedience, they get spanked, it hurts, it's over. It's paid for. That's a necessary thing. It's got to be taught. I know this is not politically correct, but you know, I don't really care. It's also, it helps clear the mind. It says right here, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and it'll drive it from him. It clears the mind. It makes kids think straight. You realize pain will help you think straight? You're not thinking straight if you're not going through pain ever in your life. You really need pain to grow you up, make you think straight, to face reality. This is very important. And that's why the Bible says use a rod on the child. There are so many verses that I could read on this, and I just simply, I'm not going to have time, but let's read one or two. Proverbs 13, verse 24. Just in case you think maybe we're making stuff up, you know, and this comes from the old Bible and now they got new Bibles that don't mention it. Look, you can throw those new Bibles away if they don't mention this.
Right.
Says, whoso despiseth, boy, I don't know how I got that one. Okay, it's 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
He that spareth his rod, that is, he that doesn't spank his son, hates him. Come on, women. Listen, I know you have a tender heart and you just can't bear to see that child cry, but you hate that kid if you don't spank it. All right. Proverbs 23, verse 13. And I'm not going to go into any more because, and there are plenty more. You can just follow your little cross references in there. You'll find a bunch. 23, verse 13. Withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. You getting this picture here? The kid is saying, I'm dying, I'm dying. Well, what does God say? Thou shalt beat him. No, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Now, that is not a promise either. It's just a fact. You teach that child the principle of justice, he'll understand when he does God wrong, and God will be able to deal with his conscience.
Right.
And that will make him look for God and look for salvation and look for forgiveness, and that will deliver his soul from hell. And if you do not teach your child about justice, they'll just feel like God just loves everybody and not going to have anything to say bad about anybody, and they'll just walk into heaven expecting to be well received because they're not such a terrible person. They need to understand the principle of justice, and that has to come from parents teaching from young how to correct them. They need to correct their thoughts. And it produces reverence. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9. And this is very important also. A child needs to reverence. You understand that word reverence? A child needs to reverence her parents. Verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Now listen, it's important that a child learn how to reverence his or her father and mother. Reverence. Honor thy father and thy mother. Honor them. This requires something outward, some signs of honor. Reverence. By the way, I'll tell you something, ladies, something free. The Bible says that a woman is supposed to reverence her husband. I know you go out and get yourself a new version where it don't say that, right? Probably have God as a woman. But what I'm trying to tell you is here, the Bible says it, and there's a good reason for it.
Yeah.
A woman should reverence her husband. But that's a different study. This is about children. Children need to reverence their parents. Such an outward show of respect.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be all, yeah, and uh-huh. You know, I really get tired of it. I'm in the courts all the day, and I see these kids all the time, and they don't know how to say yes, ma'am. Or yes, sir. All they say is, uh-huh, yeah. Listen, that's just wrong. I don't think young people should speak ever lightly to an older person. I mean, if we're two or three old years older, okay, look, I understand. We're talking about the same generation. But a whole generation ahead of you, someone old enough to be your dad, speak with reverence to them. Even the Bible talks about elders. I'm talking about Timothy. He says, if you're going to talk to somebody older than you, entreat him as a father. It's not right to speak with such lightheartedness and disregard to older people. We need to teach that to our children, because if you don't, they're going to wind up delinquents. And I'm not prophesying. I hope your kids don't wind up that way, even if you mess up. But the truth is, it does happen. All right, let me deal with something about this correction. I've got a little bit of time. Let me say that the Bible that this is dangerous. There is child abuse. Parents can go overboard and can hurt their children. And that's why the state has to step in once in a while. It has to come in and say, we're not going to let you hurt your children. And this is right. This is the duty of our government. The duty of our government is to send somebody over and investigate and find out if you're doing your child wrong by not feeding them or by beating them or by burning them with cigarettes or something like that. That's not acceptable. That's why I say never raise your hand and hit your kid above the waist. Never. Don't slap. No, I'm not saying they don't deserve it. I'm just saying don't do it. Because there's too much abuse. And we should never, ever countenance that kind of abuse. If you find somebody in this church that is abusing their child, tell somebody.
Right.
Tell one of the pastors. Tell somebody. We got to get that stopped. We can't put up with that. We cannot allow that to happen. Because this is just horrible. It's like a breach of the public trust that we allow some little kid to be beat up.
Yeah.
That's not what we're talking about. Correction has to be well done. Okay? And it has to be very conscientious. So let me deal with some things. I can point out a whole number of things in 1 Samuel. Talk about a poor, angry father. When you have this King Saul that makes all kinds of, declarations and is willing to kill his own son because of it. I can talk to you about some pretty bad fathers. I think of a guy named Jephthah who is a guy of great faith. And I'm not judging people back in those days for being so primitive. Okay? That's fine. He has a great faith. He was a great warrior, whatever. He was a lousy father.
Mm-hmm.
Because he didn't want to break his word when he made a foolish, stupid vow.
Yeah.
He sacrificed his own daughter. Look, I don't care how primitive of people they are. They ought to have something better than that.
Yeah.
You can sacrifice your word. You can have the whole nation laugh at you and save your own daughter. You got no business sacrificing your children on your supposed importance. Dad, you gonna tell me this Jephthah never lied before? He never broke his word before? He decides to keep his word when it costs the life of his daughter? Nonsense. That's not acceptable. Too many people go down that road, even in our life. You know, there's a lot of people who sacrifice. I know preachers who sacrifice their children on their ministry.
Yeah.
Watch out. Mm-hmm. Your job ain't so important. Your ministry's not even that important.
Sure.
All right, we're not talking about abusing children. We do not tolerate at all abuse. We do not tolerate just beating kids because you're drunk or you're tired or you're frustrated or you're angry at your boss.
That's right.
Or you're angry at your wife. You don't take things out on your kids. Your kids are holy.
Amen.
They're spiritual, they belong to God, and you have a holy responsibility
Amen.
Toward them. All right, let me deal with a few things. The Bible says, provoke not your children to wrath. So you're not allowed to provoke your children. They should not have a legitimate reason to be angry at you. Now, there's a lot of ways that could apply, and I'm not going to go into it because it's too deep. I'll have to criticize myself too much. So we'll just skip that part and not go into it too deep. Let's make some practical rule. I'm a very provocative person, and I tease my kids unmercifully, and so I'm confessing my sins. I provoked them to wrath more than once. But I think it really is talking about stuff that's even worse than that. Not just teasing your kids or provoking them, but I think it's talking about your attitude toward your children and how you can truly hurt them by provoking them. All right, but you can apply that however you can. Let's talk about some practical helps. When it comes to spanking children in a way of correction, you need to make clear rules and clear punishments. Don't wing it. Don't wing it. Don't go according to your mood. Make clear rules and clear punishments. I got to realizing that if I went according to my feelings, my mood, I could way overdo it. I used to just whip my belt off right there and start wailing. Then I got to noticing those bruises on it. I got to feeling real bad. And I wouldn't feel satisfied after I spanked them when I did that. That's not acceptable, people. My behavior as a young father was not acceptable. I overdid it with my kids. I didn't make clear rules. I would just get frustrated and I'd spank them because I knew they were doing wrong and whatever. And it wasn't right. You got to make clear rules and clear punishments. So then I set myself up some standards. I said I would never spank my kids more than 4 swats. And trust me, my swats were real ones. I'm not some of these little, I've seen some of these people, you know, this is swat them. Oh, forget it. Just don't bother. All you're doing is getting them mad. You don't want to just get them mad at you. You want to teach them something, right? So you've got to really spank them. I would take a paddle and I would lift them off the floor. So I'm telling you, they need to know what a spanking is. Yeah. They need to understand. It's not about vengeance or, you know, that. It's about correction. It's about teaching. So I said I would not spank them more than 4 swats. And 4 was about as bad as it could get. Normally it would just be 1. And they knew. If it was just a normal thing, I'd give them 1 swat. It would be a good one. And they would dread it. But it'd be over. And if it's a clear rule and a clear punishment, it can be solved. There can be closure. Make reasonable rules. Your kids are not going to be better than you. They're not going to be, you know, more disciplined than you. If you can't control yourself, don't expect your kids to be able to control themselves. You know what I'm saying? Make reasonable rules and have reasonable expectations. You need to expect what your kid can actually perform, right? You need to make a few rules at a time. Some parents have way too many rules. And it becomes very, very, confusing to a child. And in fact, if you have too many rules, they can't remember which one they broke when you finally get around to spanking them. Yeah. So they really need to know. And if you overspank, if you spank too many times, too hard, and everything's too confusing, what happens is the child disassociates the punishment from the crime. Right. And if they disassociate the punishment from the crime, it does no good at all. It's just like in Edwardian England when crime got so bad and so they decided to increase the punishments and they would actually cut off a man's head for stealing bread. Well, you know what happened? People just began to hate justice. It just doesn't work. It has to be proportional punishment, reasonable things. You need to set these things up. Think it over. Take some time. You got a Saturday? Take all day. Figure it out and teach your children these things. All right, where am I? Do not punish for an accident. Make the difference. We're not punishing because you're frustrated. They spill the milk, so what? They ruin the carpet, who cares? Let it go. Kids are supposed to spill the milk. Kids are supposed to ruin the carpet. And I got all these because I made these mistakes, okay? So I'm not just, you know, posturing here. I'm not just posturing like, you know, I'm holy or something. I made these mistakes. Like I say, I got 5 PhDs. It took me a while. Let your child learn how to cope with failure. They got to be able to make mistakes and learn how, hey, it's not so bad. You need to have the attitude, hey, you can get by this. So you made a mistake. So you lost this. So you broke this toy. So you what? Who cares? Teach your children how to overcome. That's not what spanking is for. All right, punish promptly and diligently. Mm-hmm. One of the big mistakes that people have when they come to spanking is they're not prompt. They're not diligent. They're lazy. They are lazy. They don't want to get it done. Be consistent. In season, out of season. Now, I'm not saying if your kid messes up in McDonald's, you take him out there and wail on him. You might ought to wait till you get home. That's fine. You can use your own wisdom on that. But make sure you're consistent. Make sure if you give your word you're going to spank them, make sure you do it. You see, because a whole lot of people say, if you do that, you're going to get it. And they do it. All right, if you do it one more time, you're going to get it. All right, this is the third time, and they just never get around to doing it. That doesn't work. All it does is make your child a scofflaw. All right, be determined.
This is hard, I know. This is going to be hard, especially when you just begin to spank for correction. But you have to be determined and not give up until your child submits. Now, I had two really stubborn kids, my first one and my last one. I'm telling you, I told my last one when she was 1 year old, I said, say thank you. She wouldn't do it. I said, about 2 years old, how old? She was 2 years old. I was going to say, I had a really smart kid saying thank you at 1 year old. Talk about unreasonable expectations, you know. Say thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. She says, yes, ma'am, I have a bad memory. I told my daughter when she's just basically just learning how to talk and all that, I told her to say, yes, ma'am. And she knew how. She would say it once in a while. Yes, ma'am. But she refused to say it. Just plain refused. So I spanked her. And she cried. And I let her get her breath. And I said, okay, now say yes, ma'am. And she refused. So I spanked her again. And I said, I let her cry and I let her get her breath. It's all right. Okay, everything's fine now. Now say yes, ma'am. And she refused. And this went on for over an hour. Over an hour. I don't know what, you know, where I was late that day or what, but I just sat right there. It was just where it was tiring. It wore us out. But I kept on, and I kept on, and I kept on. You remember that, Deb, huh? I kept on, and it wasn't just the baby crying either. Parents were crying too. But you know something? There came a moment when she said, yes, ma'am. She said it. That Lena, I tell you what. She's almost a perfect kid now. All right. You need to be determined to not give up until your child submits. You got to teach them these things. They got to know who's boss. Yeah. They really got to, and you've got to follow through with your word. All right. Be moderate in your punishments. Moderation, people, this is a huge key to life. Moderation, not light, not excessive. You need to be moderate. You need to explain your child's error. They need to know where they messed up and what they could have done different. You need to take some time. Spank them, yes, but then take some time to explain your error. And not just to be able to bawl them out and make them feel bad, but really, seriously, explain what they're doing wrong and how they can change. Give them some hope. If you can tell that kid does not understand the explanation of his error, maybe you're making too many rules or you're having unreasonable expectations. Maybe you need to change your philosophy in that. But one way or the other, they need to understand what they're getting spanked for. And if they don't understand, it doesn't do any good. Let your child know without reservation your love.
Amen.
You cannot spank out of anger, hate, embarrassment, irritation, frustration. You have to spank out of love.
Amen.
Because you love that kid and you're not going to let that kid turn out like that. Yeah. And if you think it's acceptable the way most people have their kids in a restaurant, you know, Sam, I could take five young children into a nice restaurant and not have any incident the entire hour that we're there. Yeah. If you can't do that with your kid, you're to blame.
Yeah.
If you cannot control your child, and let me tell you something, it is not the responsibility of everybody in society to listen to your kid whine patiently.
Yeah. Amen.
Teach your child how not to whine. Teach your child how to shut up. Teach your child how to obey. And if they have to cry, teach them how to cry quiet.
That's right.
All right. Do not despise your child.
Yeah.
Do not be ashamed of your child. I don't care if he's buck-toothed and pimply-faced and ugly. Don't be ashamed of him. Apple don't fall far from the tree, right? Oh, man, I am not going to finish this again. I tell you what. Do not shame your child in front of other people.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Unless you're a preacher and you got to use your children as examples. That's the exception. But let me tell you something. There's a whole lot of parents that ruin their relationship with their children because they shame them or they're ashamed of them. They're embarrassed by them. Mm-hmm. Parents can be embarrassed by their kids. And they can be so embarrassed that the kid starts noticing. And it can really hurt. It can really hurt a child. Be meek. When you make a mistake, what do you think you got to do? You got to say, I'm sorry. If you can't teach your child how to say, how you say I'm sorry, how's he going to learn how to say I'm sorry? Right. And you know what happens when you learn how to say you're sorry? A child learns how to say he's sorry. And he can come and say, you know, Dad, I'm sorry. Yeah. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. It's important. That's something important to learn. Okay, accept responsibility for your child. If he behaves badly, be ashamed. Correct him diligently. It's your responsibility, and his behavior is not acceptable. Mm-hmm. He is a spiritual being, and disordered children is not acceptable. Not in anybody's world. Not even in this modern society where they don't even know how to raise kids. All right, let's go from correction, go to instruction. And I got 5 minutes. Instruction. Proverbs 1:8, the next step in raising children, I'll just tell you, correction requiring spanking generally is from about toddler age to adolescence. I'm not saying you should never spank your kids after they hit adolescence when they start going through the change. But, I mean, if you wait till then, you're in trouble, just to let you know. Proverbs 1:8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. You know what kids need after they have been controlled by correction and taught about justice and all that? They need time. They need instruction. They need you to talk about everything. Now, I know that in our industrial society, when mom and dad both work and it's 40 to 50 to 60 hours a week and you just don't have time, then you need to make time. Amen. Your kids are more important than your career. That's right. And you ought to have lots of kids, folks. Mm-hmm. I disagree with this modern idea. We just have just a couple kids, you know. No, man, come on, have a bunch. Have a bunch of kids and teach them, because there's not much else in life worth doing. All right? Nobody ever at the end of their life said, I wish I'd spent more time at the office, right? Yeah. So come on, guys, let's get our minds set on what's really important in life. Have your children, and then take some time with them. You mothers ought to have your greatest desires to be home with your kids. That ought to be your desire. Even dads, you ought to can't just wait to get off work to get home and be with your kids. Sit them on your lap and shake them around. And let me tell you something. You guys, y'all have a sick sense of humor, you know that? That's important. I think kids ought to be roughhoused.
That's right.
I think you ought to get on the front room floor and wrestle with your kids. Mm-hmm. I think they need time. But especially, I think you need to start talking to them. I think they need to be talked to about drugs. They need to be instructed. They need to be talked to about sex. They need to be talked to about strangers. They need to be talked to about government. They need to be talked to about the Bible. Amen. They need to be talked to about crime and about what's happening. You know something? They need to be instructed. Dads, I think you ought to teach your boys how to fight.
Yeah.
Get some boxing gloves, show them how to fight. You say, boy, you are old school. No, listen, this is coming.
That's right.
This is coming. We all need instruction.
That's right.
Dads, I think you ought to teach your girls how to fight. Mm-hmm. I know Jesus said turn the other cheek. That's fine. After they know how to fight, teach them how to turn the other cheek. Well, what kind of a great deal is it if you're scared of everything to turn the other cheek? That's no faith. Come on, if you can beat that guy up and you turn the other cheek, now that's something.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something, you need to teach them how to fight. You need to give a girl judo lessons. Mm-hmm. Show her how to hurt that guy.
Yeah.
You know what I tell my girls? If somebody grabs you and tries to haul you off, find something on that person and bite it off.
Yeah.
I didn't say bite him and hurt him. I said bite it off. If you find a finger, that's even better. We'll be able to identify him. Bite it off. You don't stop fighting. Fight until you're dead.
Yeah.
Teach your kids how to fight.
Yeah.
I think you ought to teach your kids how to shoot a gun.
Yeah. Amen.
Big gun. Biggest old gun. Maybe an automatic weapon. Show them how to shoot it.
Amen.
Really, I am not joking. I mean that with all my heart. You ought to take your kids out and give them target practice, and the targets ought to be in the shape of a man.
Yeah.
Because you don't need guns to kill Bambi.
Nope.
You can do that with a car. But you need guns to kill bad people. And listen, everybody needs to know how to defend themselves. You find me some creature that God made that doesn't have a self-defense mechanism. I one time tried to move a male rabbit out of one cage and put it in another cage and it bit me. You tell me that rabbit don't know how to fight. I'm telling you, that rabbit knew how to fight. I had no idea that rabbits were like that. I think we ought to teach our kids. I think we ought to take the time to instruct our children. I think you ought to teach your kids how to sew. I think you ought to teach your kids how to wash the clothes, how to cook. At least how to light the stove. Come on. I think we need to teach our kids how to reload. We need to teach our kids everything. It takes time. Turn off the television.
Amen.
You don't need it. You know something? I think it's a crime when parents use the television to get some quiet time. I know. You come home, you're frazzled, you're tired, turn on the television and the kids just shut up. I think that's wrong. I think that's a sin. Don't use the television. Sit down with your kids and teach them.
Amen.
You can't come up with something to teach them? Ask me. I'll give you a whole list. Somebody will give you a list. Ask Grandpa. What did you used to do? You know, teach them how to whittle.
Yeah.
Teach them how to sharpen a knife. I don't care. Teach them how to camp. Teach them how to build a kite. Teach them how to have a career. Teach them about money. Teach them about how to write a check. There's so many things that you need to teach these children. You need to make them ahead of the game, ready to go. It's your responsibility. That's why it says instruction. God gives us this idea of how to raise children. And he says, instruct them. Instruct them. Take the time. Get some systematic teaching involved. And then have some time where you take with your children and you go through the whole step and teach them the whole thing. Kids do not raise themselves. And I'm out of time, and I still didn't get to the last step, which is provision. But that'll be the next time.